for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 328 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are live on the Going for Two Live podcast network every Wednesday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, syndicated on all major podcast networks. As always, guys, if you are watching us on Twitter, we cannot see your comments. Go find us on YouTube. You could follow the link right down there at the bottom there, youtube.com/@goingfortwolive.
And hit follow.
And yeah, hit follow, hit subscribe, hit all that good stuff.
Or whatever you do on YouTube. Yeah,
one of those things.
Just be our friend.
100%. All right. That voice you hear, of course, is Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Ah, dude, same old, just... happy to be here.
And those that are watching, not listening to this on audio, that guy down the bottom there with all that energy, Mr. Smoky Hell, Josh Nelson. What's up, Josh?
Oh, what is shaking, boys? How is your day going?
Absolutely great, man. It's 100%.
I wish I had like a third of your energy.
Agreed.
Like at any point during the day.
Well, once you hit my age, you start feeling a little youthful again. You know, you try to drink at least a pot of coffee a day.
Well, yeah,
do anything.
Obviously. That's called survival.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, real quick, Josh, give us a quick rundown of your show, the Smoke Show. You know that you do, and then also, of course, we can follow you. I didn't mention at Smoky Hell NFL on Twitter, and then talk a little bit about your thing in the fantasy space, like what you do in the fantasy world.
So I've actually kind of taken a back seat for a little while my wife's been in school the last couple of years. But her graduation ceremony is this Friday. I am free and I am coming back with a vengeance. It's going to be a multi-platform thing. But in the meantime, I have been doing different content things with the Smoke Show, a lot of things with music, comics, football. But this is the year where I'm dipping the toes back in, hitting the shows, you know, doing the circuit. But my specialty has always been kind of starts and sits on the weekly basis, as well as a column that has seen various formats. It was started its life as a weekly column, my Puff Puff Pass. And that is where I break down two players I want to be starting and one player I want to be sitting at each of the position groups every week. And it took off. It was great. And then it evolved into a podcast segment on one of my former shows, the Jet Sweep Show. And then kind of disappeared into the ether while it's been on the back burner. So I'm bringing that back, folks. It's back. It's Puff back. Puff Pass. But it's going to be coming to TikTok this year.
Good stuff. Maybe. I love it. I love it.
I don't know. Yeah,
you mentioned that segment on the Discord show we did a couple weeks ago. And that was the best name for a segment I've ever heard. Puff Puff Pass. I gotta love it.
Awesome. Yes, the own brand, right?
exactly.
Good that refers to the old 90s movie Puff the Magic Dragon, I assume.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Nailed it first try, man. That's why you come to this show, folks, because experts.
Good stuff. All right, fellas, as always, the show tonight is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their industry-leading best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick-ems for all major sports. Use our promo code GF2 and get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Use promo code GF2. Start drafting your best ball teams. Great show tonight. As you couldn't tell from the title, we're doing all Scott Fishbowl stuff tonight. We'll do some news and notes. Then we're going to look at a live mock draft currently being going on right now through our Discord channel. And we're just going to break it down, round by round, look at a couple team roster constructions and kind of, give us our thoughts on that. And then we got a bunch of listener questions to check out. People dropped it in the Discord, on Twitter. I got some questions from Facebook. Pretty much everywhere that Scott Fishbowl is happening, we got some great questions. But first, as always, we'll get it kicked off with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. Tonight, we are drafting famous fictional cars that you would drive if you could. And Josh, you got the first pick here. Let's hear it.
Oh, so gracious. And you know what? Like Tom Petty said, don't bore us, get to the chorus. My pick at the 101 is the Aston Martin DB5 nice. From the classic James Bond movie Goldfinger. And ooh. If you don't know, then get out from under the rock that you've been living in.
Yeah, I had that one on my list, and I didn't realize it actually makes more than just that movie. It was in five or six yes. different movies, even some more than more current ones. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great, great choice there with the Aston Martin.
The classic.
Love it. All right, I'm up at the 102 here, and I expected one of the other two picks to go first, but you left me both of my picks that I would have been debating at 101 here. So I'm going to go with the Tim Burton Batmobile. That's
son
the one.
Of a bitch.
That's the one I love. They actually have that in the DC Museum that you can go actually see. You can't sit in it or anything, but they actually have it on display at the museum here. But it's my favorite Batmobile of all the Batmobiles that you know have been over time. It's definitely my favorite one. That one was pretty sweet.
That one is. I just love the new Flash movie and it's in it. It's awesome.
Oh really?
It was just straight nostalgia seeing that car.
Nice. That's awesome.
Damn it.
I stole yours, Ryan.
You did. And I don't want to know if I'm going to go super like unrealistic car, but I'm going to anyways. I'm going with the DeLorean.
Nice.
From Back to the Future. Like
that was my other one.
One, it's freaking awesome. Two, it can time travel. Like it can't pass it.
Yeah. That was my other one. Weird. That was my other, it was between that one and the Batmobile, but I like the Batmobile just a slight bit better. But yeah, the DeLorean was my other one that I was thinking about. Great, great choice. All right, back to you, Josh.
All right. Since this is fictional, I'm going the full mile here. We are taking it back. And we're going to remain in like the 60s, 70s era here. I am taking the Mach 5 from the classic cartoon Speed Racer.
Nice.
Oh.
Another absolute dragon on the speed course, race course, whatever you want to call it. And it's got some gadgets too. And occasionally, you'll find a monkey in the trunk, and it's always useful to have a monkey in the trunk.
Yeah, that was on my list, too. That's a great one. That's another good one there. All right, I'm up at the 105 here, and there's a couple. I got a bunch on my list. This was a really good one. I liked a lot of these ones that I'm going to start researching it. But I'm going to go with one that I've mentioned on the show before, and I don't remember what I mentioned it for. It is a show from the 80s, and when you hear the music, you always know exactly what's coming on, and that is Kit from Knight Rider. That was one of my favorite shows growing up, and like I said, that music that comes up, you knew exactly what was going on when you heard that music, so that's my choice here at the 105. Ryan, you got the 106.
I'm going the Apocalypse Monster, the Giga Horse from Mad Max Fury Road. It's a 1959... Coupe de Ville with another one stacked on top of it on some Bigfoot tires nice. With like a pusher. You're surviving everything in that thing.
That's awesome. Great, great choice there.
Man, that is great. That is great. But can we go back to your pick for a second there, Jeff? So your second pick of the draft, you're going to have Mr. Feeney narrating your car experience.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Feeney?
Yeah, man. Kit was Mr. Wow. Feeney. Yeah.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Know. That's a good
what do you know?
But the first two were all about class, elegance, speed. This one's all style, baby. Give me the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo, baby.
Yes, and that fits you. That definitely fits you. You do a lot of puff-puff passing in the back of that thing.
My content machine.
Yeah.
The content machine.
I love it. All right, so I'm up at the last pick here. Let's see. I went DeLorean. I went Kit from Knight Rider. Let's see. Should I go with nostalgia or should I go with something a little more? All right, I'm going to go with something that it was actually my daughter's choice, and I thought it was a pretty cool choice, so I'm going to go with it. Gru's evil machine is what they call it from Despicable Me. That big ass thing that he drives around in.
Yeah,
that would be pretty badass to drive up in that thing. So I'll go with that one. That's my my more current of the three choices that I had here.
I dig it.
All right, Ryan, close this out here.
I was gonna go with any car from the Fast and the Furious, but that's too unrealistic. Because I think that takes it a little bit too far. DeLorean is much more realistic than that. So I'm going with the Ecto one, just because Ghostbusters is my favorite as a kid.
Sweet.
It was so badass. I want that 8 miles of the gallon of that just tank driving through the streets.
Yeah, that was on my list as well. That's a really good one. I had a couple other honorable mentions. I thought about the Dukes of Hazzard's General Lee. That's a show I watched back in the day. The A-Team van, that was pretty badass too.
Yeah!
Is the DB5 the one that also goes submarine mode, by the way, your first pick?
No, I believe that was a Roger Moore one. That was more of a conical nose.
Okay.
Yeah, Jamie said Herbie in the chat. I thought about Herbie. I couldn't pull it off. I couldn't get into it.
It was a Lotus.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh yeah, he's talking about Christine from the Stephen King movies, the murdering vehicle. I like that one too. Do you ever see that one? It was a car that basically killed people. It had a mind of its own and would just run people over.
And they named it Tesla?
No, it's called Christine. They named it Tesla. What about y'all? You have any honorable mentions that we didn't get a chance to draft?
Anything from Transformers?
Yeah, I had Optimus Prime on my list. Yep.
I'd say the Jurassic Park cars, but there's literally somebody in my neighborhood who has his car painted dirt just like it. So I can't say that because I see it constantly.
Yeah, I had a couple honorable mentions. Since you took a Batmobile, I didn't want to mention the other one, so I kept him for after here. But the 69 Charger from the new one.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
My God! Beautiful. It's
so badass.
Yeah.
Yes, and also the 1955 Lincoln Futura concept car, the original 1966 Batman Batmobile.
That's another good one, too.
That one's just beautiful.
Yep.
Woo! Sleep.
All right, let's get into some football stuff.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, not a very busy week in news, so we'll go through these pretty quickly here. First one up, Ryan, I'm going to go to you since you're the Ravens fan here. J.K. Dobbins, the note is that it's pretty clear that Todd Monken wants to work at a higher pace. He wants to get the running backs involved in the passing game and then obviously in the red zone as well. What are your thoughts here with Dobbins' value, and do you actually believe this note? Do you think that's kind of what they're looking at doing, getting the running backs more involved?
Yes, I believe it because of just what his past experience as a head coach and what we saw. He's had all these great receiving running backs in Georgia. He used the running backs in Tampa Bay when he was coaching there. So I do believe it. Dobbins just needs to get his ass to camp and quit pitching and needs to do something before he gets paid. But that's a whole different story and situation. But yeah, I kind of believe it. I don't know if it's going to be like 100 targets, but if he gets in that 40 to 50 target range, that's a really good fantasy ball for what he can do as a rusher.
Absolutely. And I've always said that, with Lamar Jackson as your quarterback, they're going to have to scheme the running back into the passing game because Lamar Jackson's more apt to take off than he is to check down. But if it's schemed in there and it's part of the offense to get the ball to the running back, then that helps him out. And I think that's what they're trying to do here.
And it protects him. Keeps that big contract safe.
100% agree. What about you, Josh? What are your thoughts here on Dobbins? And if he's catching passes, how far up does that move him on your list of running backs?
If it's true, it would definitely move him up my rankings. I'm probably around or below consensus on Dobbins because I just want to see it. We all know what he's capable of. But, I mean, stay on the field and do something when you're on the field, which you have done. The first part is more important before you start trying to, use your leverage against the team. But from a fantasy perspective, I think a lot of people who, I might be in the minority. I have a couple shares and I held the whole time just because the upside, you're not going to be getting the return that you should be getting for someone of that commensurate talent. So a lot of people held. And if you did, yeah, is there spokesperson a fantasy player? Because this is what we were all wanting to hear. running backs involved in the passing game in Baltimore. So, yeah, I'm in. If this is true, I am in.
And he can do it. Like, he had over 20 receptions all 3 years at Ohio State.
Yep. It's definitely in the cards. He's
proven pass catcher.
Good stuff. All right, let's move over to a receiver, Josh. Another receiver that's a little bit disgruntled with the offense, I guess, in his role in the offense, Mr. Stephon Diggs. How much stock are you putting into all of this, and do you think it affects Stephon Diggs once the season starts?
I think it doesn't really matter once the season starts, because these guys, they live, they breathe football. It is ingrained into their psyche, into their training habits, their eating habits, their living habits. So it's so to break that, I don't think I have any trepidation or worry about that. But isn't this kind of the same plays he was making down in Minnesota? I mean, this is kind of ringing true a little bit again. In this situation, I think he has a bit more leverage. There's no one else there. But, I mean, just if he wants some money, put it in incentives. Yeah. Get him on the field. You know that's what the end result is going to be, so just do it. They have lots of money.
Yeah.
Like, lots. Their owners are very rich. Absolutely. Do not worry about that. Just give them the money. Get him on the
field. I didn't think it was money with them.
Was
he
it?
Diggs isn't asking for more money. He's upset with his role on the team.
Which,
and like,
didn't he have like 100?
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, no, you had 154 targets last
year. Yeah, no, what more can you possibly want?
Like,
I want 155, damn it.
Like, you had 1,400 yards. Like, you're balling out because your team didn't make the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, unless Patrick Mahomes dies, the AFC goes through him.
Yep. Unless he wants to play quarterback too, maybe he wants to throw a few passes and get some touchdowns that way too. I don't know what else could he possibly want.
You're gonna be the top three most targeted guys in the league. Just
shut up and play.
Like I if he's asking more money, I'd support that. But this, I don't support. This is stupid.
Yeah.
No. No. Well, you're not play caller. You're a player. Did you read the word wrong?
All right, Ryan, back to you on this one. A guy here in Pittsburgh where you're at, Allen Robinson, I guess they're impressed with him at OTAs. He's been working in the slot a lot on the goal line. What are you hearing there in Pittsburgh? Is Allen Robinson really going to be a force in fantasy, or at least somewhat usable?
Dude, like, in Pittsburgh, he's a hero right now. Like, they love him. But, I mean, I don't know how he's going to be more than third in targets. Because... George Pickens is going to be the man there. Like, it's not even a question. We still are going to see 115, 120 targets out of Deontay Johnson, which doesn't leave a ton on the plate for Allen Robinson, because you're going to get another, 60 targets, Najee Harris. The tight ends are going to get involved.
Yeah.
I don't know how there's meat on the bone for Allen Robinson. I'm sure he's going to make some plays. He has some touchdown upside, but I think you're chasing touchdowns with the fantasy.
Yeah, are you in the same mindset with this one, Josh, on Allen Robinson in Pittsburgh? Do you think he recaptures any magic from his past days, or is he pretty much over?
I mean, it's target opportunity, like Ryan was saying there. Does he have it? I think he does. I think he can. But how much can you do with that little that little piece of pie? Just this little.
Yeah, he'd be one of those.
Kenny Pickett.
It'd be very touchdown dependent.
I mean, am I the only one who hasn't anointed him a savior? I'm just not completely sold on Pickett yet.
Yeah.
He's fine.
I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yep.
He doesn't move the needle.
Like, he's a young Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and you know what? He's had a good career. He's made a lot of money.
Just living in that mediocrity, man. He'll be fine.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yes, that's the path in the NFL.
All right, let's close it out with one more almost meaningless note. This is one of those coach speaks notes. And we'll go to you first, Josh, on Cam Akers. Sean McVay said that he will be a central figure in this team's offense. I mean, who else could they possibly go to, right? I mean, it's Cooper Kupp.
He stole the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. Who else is there? Obviously Cooper Kupp. And then
anybody that steps up, apparently.
Puka Nacua?
Yeah.
Sure. That's great, McVay. I love to hear that. Great, bring the positivity. That's fantastic.
What about you, Ryan? Does this do anything for you?
I mean, I was hyping him up last week. when we were on the show. He was my one of our players we brought for breakouts.
Fair enough.
And this just goes towards my bias. Right. The opportunity's there, and I don't know what's going to get in the way of their entry.
Yeah, I mean, we saw at the end of last year too that he was pretty much doing it last year. He was the man at the end of the last four or five games. He was getting all the carries, so they didn't really do much to address the position. So I think he's still going to be the man there. So,
yeah.
How dare you disrespect Sony Michel?
I thought you were going to say Zach Evans, the rookie, but you wouldn't even.
I was going to say Kyren Williams, and I was about to get upset. Yeah, because Kyren Williams is not good.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to pull up a mock draft that is literally currently going on right now. If you're not in the Discord yet, please get in the Discord. You can find it pinned to my profile. But this is a mock draft for the Scott Fishbowl. Hopefully you can see that. We're going to go through a couple of these rounds here and look at some values that we kind of like and where they were drafted. We'll look at a little bit of roster construction. But first things first here, Ryan, let's take a look at this first round here. Is there anything that stands out both in a positive or a negative way that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, obviously, I think the thing that stands out is Kelce at 1.02, which we've seen these mocks. He's gone 101, too. And I know he's such a positional advantage. But there is no way I'm passing on a top six quarterback in fantasy for a tight end, no matter what. Because if you see this, you're that second round, and you're looking at your QB1, you're digging through trash. Like, the spoiler alert, Kelce with Kyren Stroud, Kelsey's awesome, but that's rough a quarterback there, and you got a lot of question marks. A rookie and a dude in a new system who's just average. And I don't know if I trust that or if that has longevity. It makes building a roster really hard at that point when you're passing on them. If you took Kelce at 6 or 7, when you have chance of decent quarterbacks coming back around, that's a different story. But here, that scares me.
This is the perfect segue because I know where Josh stands on this. I believe he has the 103, and he said in our Discord channel a couple weeks ago.
I saw his face when I'm saying this.
Yeah, he's.
I'm not a tight end early person, no matter what scoring is.
Okay,
and I'll say that.
Counterpoint: would it sway you if they had gone Prescott over Lamb?
Yes, that's fine. I didn't.
Yeah, because the third round reversal, he would have been on the board. Yeah,
third round reversal, Prescott was still on the board. My play, if I was at the 102 there, if I was starting Kelce and Prescott was on the board, he's the last quarterback I'm quote-unquote reaching for in round two before the reversal.
Yes.
If he's still available, yes. If not, I'm fine on waiting because that's the bet I've made. I'll probably see if Rodgers is available at the end of the third.
Yeah, it's just, it's rough right there, man. I like the idea of him, Lamb, and Olave, and it could hit, but you really need Carr to click in New Orleans. You have to hope that coaching staff can do it because it's not the same with Sean Payton. It's not the same thing we've seen for all these years. And then you have CJ Stroud hits in a not that great Houston team as a rookie quarterback. There's a lot you have to go right.
Let me ask you this, Ryan, because this came up a lot. In our Discord channel with the scoring and there being no negatives for quarterbacks. If you were to take Kelce and then wait on quarterback, you know, there's guys that, you know, traditionally are bad quarterbacks. They throw a lot of picks, like maybe a Matthew Stafford, you know, someone like that, that's going to get a ton of volume and he's not going to get dinged for throwing interceptions. Are you okay with Kelce and then getting a quarterback really late, like even later than Derek Carr?
Yeah. Like I honestly, there's quarterbacks who went later who I'd rather take chances on the car. Like Kyler Murray goes two rounds later. I'd rather have him. And I'd rather bet on that upside with him missing a few games. You mentioned Stafford. I'd rather have Russell Wilson in that case. Like, he still has more weapons, a good coach. I just, the building after maybe soured me on it. Like, I pick a 5 and I know I'm gonna go quarterback regardless, but like I understand if you think somebody will fall.
Yeah,
just team building and super flex makes it hard.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Josh, let's go to you. Outside of Kelce being 102 there, is there anything that you see in that first round that stands out both as a good thing or a bad thing?
This is one of the higher instances I've seen Jefferson go. That's curious. But one thing that stands out while we're on the receiver topic is right around the end of the first round there, 111. I've seen this a lot in mocks where people are doubling up on premier receivers. I've seen a ton of Chase Lamb, but these Chase Hill ones I've seen a bit of too. But it's primarily just those three guys that I'm seeing in that combination.
Yeah, and
it's always the 11 spot.
Yeah, you're right.
Like almost exclusively the 11. It's never 12. It's always 11. It's so weird.
It's a good call. And something that somebody pointed out to me, and I haven't gone to verify it yet, but someone said that in this scoring, if you take last year's stats and put it into this year's scoring, not a single receiver was in the top 12 in scoring last year. Not a single one. They were all outside the top 12. So that's something to consider as well. I think if you look at the 13 through 24, there's a shit ton of receivers stacked in that second tier. But as far as top 12 receivers, not even Jefferson was a top 12 in this scoring last year. So just something to think about. All right, let's move into the second and the third round. We'll just kind of combine those two together with the third round reversal. Ryan, is there anything in this round as far as value or someone you think they've probably reached for a little bit?
Honestly, I think Saquon Barkley should make an argument as the RB1 in this format because volume is so heavy. We're looking at 295 carries last year for Barkley and another 57 receptions. Did you get, what is it, 0.25 points per touch or per carry for him? Dude, that's so many points. I would think about Barkley at that 112 range. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's a super value there.
Yeah, 100%. And looking at the way this one went, I mean, Christian McCaffrey went the RB2, I think, behind Bijan. And as a 49ers fan, I kind of think that they're going to limit Christian McCaffrey a little bit this year. They're not going to give him the huge workload that we saw him with last year. I think Elijah Mitchell gets mixed in a little more. They traditionally haven't gone heavy with just one running back. They did last year, but I think this year they're going to figure out a way to limit his workload. So maybe he doesn't get quite as much volume as he did last year, which could hurt his value a little bit, especially in this format. Josh, what about you? Second and third round, anything stand out to you?
The order of, we were actually talking about this in the 103 chat today, the order of the running backs in the third round after the reversal there. Jacobs, Chubb, Henry, where do you guys sit on that order? Who do you take for a second, third?
It's hard because I want to say Henry because it's Henry, but Jacobs is just a volume monster right now. And I think he's there. I think I'd go Henry over Chubb. I don't believe I still think Cleveland's going to spell Chubb a little bit more this year, no matter whether Hunt's gone or not. Like, they're going to find ways to spell him. So I think Henry's got that locked volume. But I'd probably go Jacobs, Henry, Chubb.
Yeah, the Henry one is interesting only because of that 0.25 per carry, because we know he's going to get a shit ton of carries. And that can definitely swing the balance the other way. But then so is Jacobs as well. Like, Jacobs still gets a ton of touches as well. I think what he had last year, Ryan, 400-plus touches with his receiving as well.
Yeah, it's absurd.
He had the biggest swing in scoring from last year to this year, if you're using this year's settings.
Right.
For running backs.
Also, man, Anthony Richardson at 2.03. That's your whole thing. If he hits, you're making the playoffs. If there's also a chance he doesn't start and you draft him 203.
Getting Rodgers I don't like getting a bench player in the fourth round, but I mean, if that's your strategy, that's not a bad backup.
It's a big swing. And like, you missed out on a lot of good receivers, high end running backs.
He
could have stacked McCaffrey, Jacobs, and Walker.
let's take a look at that team just in general. His entire roster construction here. He's Lawrence, AR at the 203, and then you got Jacobs, Rodgers. You mentioned he went running back again with Kenneth Walker, Cam Akers. He didn't get his wide receiver one until he got to the seventh round with DJ Moore, Mike Evans, and then he pretty much punted the tight end with Chig, Dulcich, and getting Gesicki later on. How are you feeling about this construction of this roster here, Josh? Are you feeling it or not so much?
I mean, there's some things I like about it. It's not a direction I would go, though. Like I said, getting a bench player, because in Superflex, you cannot play more than two quarterbacks. So that third quarterback is a bench player.
Yep.
Value-wise. And you're taking that in the fourth round?
That's tough.
I get it. But, man, you're giving up so much value. And, I mean, the other pieces are nice. You need Akers to hit. That's another kind of a swing. Like, this is an upside team here.
Yeah, 100%. And but,
this is so boomer bust.
Yeah. And take it from me, folks. It's not always about upside. Year two for me and Scott Fishbowl was last year. And I swung for the fences in a major way. And I believe 60% of my team was gone by week four.
Yeesh. Not good.
Yeah, through injury or bad luck or whatever. And just it was not a good scene. And I did not do well.
Yeah, this
get cute.
This quarterback room that he kind of built kind of reminds me of like how you would build a dynasty team, right? I mean, you're gonna get the young stud in the first round, you get AR in the second, and then you get the safe 1 year starter with Aaron Rodgers that you're probably gonna play over AR until he gets with it. But for a redraft league, probably not gonna want to do that.
That's something you know from doing like seeing Scott Fishbowl this long and like being all these mocks. The dynasty community in general, and obviously you can tell by the name Rookie Fever. Shout out Rookie Fever. You're still in dynasty mode, dude. Yeah. Like there's so many teams in this who draft like it's dynasty and not redraft because it's so early in the year. There's a lot of mistakes that he had and a lot of very talented vets who fall because of it.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It's a huge advantage in this tournament.
Yep.
Like it's one of the biggest in there is because people reach on these young guys who may not play this year or may have limited play.
Yep, absolutely. And they don't realize, too, that the season is a little bit shorter. The record season is a little bit shorter than a regular redraft league, too. So you got to win those early games. You can't afford to wait on those rookies to pop off in week five or week six.
And total points matter in it. You got to hit, man. Your first... Like, I know a lot of people say the draft's won late, but the first rounds and your key players have to hit.
Absolutely. Let's see. There's one more roster I want to look at here, and only because he's been in pretty much every mock I've done, and I'm just curious to what your thoughts are on his build here, Mr. Cantaloupe FF.
Jordan.
Yeah, he's been in pretty much every mock that we've done, but he goes Burrow at the 107, then he gets Eckler and Henry. Gets Kittle in the fourth, then gets a second quarterback, Russell Wilson, in the fifth, and gets some receivers, Keenan Allen, Jerry Jeudy, Addison, and Cooks, with Dalvin Cook mixed in the middle there. I'll go to you first, Josh. Give me your thoughts on his roster build here.
I mean, it's pretty similar to how I'm attacking, just in a slightly different order, but it's balanced. I actually really like this build. Burrow, Wilson, I mean, Purdy is a steal. That, and he's probably going to rise in value a little bit before then. I really like this. You can basically put Cooks in as your wide receiver three there. Addison is probably going to be great in the second half, but don't expect fireworks in the first 4 weeks. Kittle, I love Kittle. Love George Kittle. Hate the 49ers. Love George Kittle.
You hear that, Ryan? You hear that, Ryan? He says he hates the 49ers. Ryan gives me a hard time. I'm a Niners fan, and I always...
Well, we're not...
I know, and I'm sorry. I tried not to say it, but as a Cowboys fan...
It's all right. The month's not over yet. You'll still get your 49ers fan probably next week. It's one a month. It's okay.
One a month.
But it's good. And, like, the juiced-up scoring for tight ends, I like grabbing Schultz as a tight end, too, and flex player because... I mean, if there's going to be troubles down in Houston, the rookie's going to get bailed out by his tight end. So,
yeah, good call. What about you, Ryan? Some
volume? Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I think this team's super safe. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a playoff team. Later on, like, if you need Addison and maybe somebody else to hit later to make it deep in the playoff runs, but you're making the playoffs with this team. Yeah. Like, this team's barring something catastrophic. This team's making playoffs.
Yeah,
it's so safe.
That's something that people don't realize in Scott Fishbowl sometimes is because of that. That's the scoring part of it. People always want to aim for the upside, like, oh, you know, it's 3,000 teams or whatever the number is this year. I got to have these crazy upside guys to make it. The first part of it is you got to make the playoffs. And having a solid team that's just going to score a lot of points every single week is definitely a good way to get into the playoffs.
I did that last year. I've made the playoffs last 3 years, and I've had various – I made the semis last year. I was like 5 or 6 points away from making it to the finals, and my team was just solid. Like, I didn't – like, I took chances late, like, seventh round on, but I just went the best player available no matter what early, and it worked. Like, it's just box scoring points.
Yep, good stuff. Josh, remind me, you're a 103, right? That's what you pick?
Yes, sir. 30 in a row.
So let's go look at 103's build here, just so you, because you can kind of get a speak from experience here. This is Sarah. She's the 103 in this mock draft here. What are your thoughts on her build? She goes Patrick Mahomes at the 3, and she gets Jonathan Taylor, Jalen Waddle in the 3rd round. Daniel Jones is her QB2. Aaron Jones. Darren Waller gets him late at the sixth round, and then she's got Godwin, Marquise Brown, David Montgomery, Jahan Dotson. What are your thoughts on her build here?
So many Jones.
Yeah, it's true.
So many Jones, but as to the actual fantasy implications, it's another balanced build. I like Waller in the 6th. That's good value. I mean, it's going to be him and Saquon in New York, and, you know, pairing him up with Daniel Jones, that's going to be a winning combination. The top 3 in this is the 3 that I have on my queue, we will say, without the league being set up, not in order, but those are the only 3 I'm looking at. So, yeah, if she's not getting Kelce, Mahomes is my pick. If he's there, obviously, I'm not passing on Mahomes. Come on.
Absolutely.
But I think Taylor is bound for a huge year. Having Anthony Richardson back there is going to really open up some stuff for him too. I like it. Jones is probably the best piece left on that offense. Sorry. let's specify there. Aaron Jones, number 33, Green Bay Packer, is probably the best piece left in that offense.
Yeah, because she's got Daniel Jones, Aaron Jones, and Mac Jones. She's got all the Joneses.
Yeah, like, come on, 2 Jones at most. There should be a rule. But no, I like this construction. I like Dotson. I low-key love Washington for a stack. Like, getting Howell, he's got a better rushing upside, get those rushing first downs stuff. I if I'm really, really going 0 QB, I'm comfortable having him as my QB1.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of good things about him. I live here in Washington, D.C., and yeah, I've heard some good things about him as well. I personally, the value I like here, and I've been getting him in a lot of my drafts as well, is Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown there at the 8th round. That's just, it's beautiful. Yeah, I know he won't have a great quarterback to start, but I think Colt McCoy will be the starter there. I think he's good enough. He's good enough to get Marquise Brown the ball. I think Marquise Brown is by far the best receiver there. He's going to get all the volume. So in the 8th round, I love that pick there. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts on this build here?
I love this team. What we were talking about earlier, you mentioned about quarterbacks who no penalties is awesome for. Ding, 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 Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
he is perfect for this format. I think I'd have done different. I would have took Damian Pierce over Aaron Jones at that point, just because I think he's involved. He's going to be 280 plus rush attempts and involved in the passing game. But you can't complain with that. He has a tight end who's going to get volume. He has enough wide receivers who will get volume who could pop. Like, they're all pretty good floors for those top 4 receivers. And there's a chance any of them could pop.
Yeah.
So they mixed upside and floor on this team, and I love it.
Good stuff. All right, let's look at one more team, Ryan. I know you're like me. You have the 105. So let's look at the 105 here and see what the 105 did. The 105 gets Lamar Jackson, which it seems to be a pretty much consensus there if he's available at the 105 that everybody seems to be going with. Follows it up with Deshaun Watson in the 2nd round. Garrett Wilson, Ramondre Stevenson, Travis Etienne. Then they get Calvin Ridley in the 6th. Miles Sanders, who I love, in the 7th round. Brandon Ayuk, and they get a QB3 in the with that 9th round with Kenny Pickett. What are your thoughts here on the 105, Ryan?
Honestly, minus my disdain for Calvin Ridley this year and how I think he's overrated, I think this is very much how I'm hoping to build my team. Like, they have 2 strong running backs, 2 strong quarterbacks. no, they didn't hit on tight end, which you have to punt a position regardless. And if you hit right, you can do it later. I like the upside to Everett, being he's attached to Herbert. So I like that. I think Miles Sanders is going to be nice volume in Carolina just because we've seen the track record of Carolina running backs recently, even when they're not good. And he's better than anything other than McCaffrey they've had in there. So I really like what this team did. Pickett gets him a third starting quarterback. Surprisingly, a lot of teams in this don't have three starting quarterbacks who you can plug and play. So, dude, they're solid everywhere. They're safe. There's upside. They have Garrett Wilson, who could be a top five, top 10 receiver because he's attached to Aaron Rodgers now. Mm-hmm. Ramondre Stevenson's going to get a ton of volume. He's been quietly had a great offseason, which nobody knows because the Patriots didn't bring in anybody and they showed their trust in him. I like this team.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Really in the spot.
It's the one glaring thing was the one you pointed out, Calvin Ridley, because I'm like you. I'm not buying Calvin Ridley. I prefer to take Christian Kirk, a little bit later. I'm not sure. I'm trying to find where he went. He went all the way in the, eighth round. I would prefer Kirk in a later round over Ridley in the sixth.
I would take George Pickens, who went round nine, over Ridley.
Yeah, agreed.
And I would take...
Yeah, there's a few that I would probably take. I'd probably take Judy over Ridley. I'd take
Hollywood Brown over him.
Yep. I don't
love that spot.
Deontay Johnson is another guy that I'm getting, but I don't see where he went in this. Oh yeah, he went all the way in the ninth round. Deontay Johnson, somebody else I would also take over Calvin Ridley in the sixth for sure. What about you, Josh? What are your thoughts on this team?
You gassed when I blasphemed on Calvin Ridley.
When I first got into the industry, quote unquote, when I got in. He was one of my guys for that year.
He was my dude too. He was my top receiver that year. I loved him.
It was glorious. I've always been a believer in Ridley. Love what he can bring. And pairing him up with quite possibly one of my favorite quarterbacks. I'm in. So I have unrealistic expectations for Calvin Ridley this year. Almost on par with his own. But yeah, I'm in as a wide receiver two on there. Whew. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the upside is definitely there for sure. If he can get back to what he was, I'm afraid with the offense the way that it was last year and the amount of targets that Christian Kirk had, amount of targets that, even Zay Jones had, Travis Etienne, Evan Ingram, I just don't know how he fits in that offense and gets enough volume to be viable. But if he gets it, I think he's a great receiver. I'm just like Ryan. I think he's a great route runner. He can be a great player. So if he gets the volume,
I love the 100%. Skill set. I just don't. The connection Trevor Lawrence has with those players already is what scares me. Like, Lawrence really bonded with Kirk. For some weird reason, he really bonded with Zay Jones. Evan Ingram hit late with him, got target late. Etienne's good in the pass game. That's for my fears. I don't know how he gets over 90 targets.
Okay,
and I don't want that as my wide receiver too. Go for it, dude. I'd love to hear it.
Counterpoint. You are listing every one of their players. He is so good. He can make that rapport with any player. And with a skill set like Ridley, I think it's inevitable.
He's also been off 2 years.
No, I completely see the opposite of this. And like I said, my expectations are unrealistic in this situation.
I honestly hope he hits because I love the player. I've had shares I've been sitting on. But the shares I'm sitting on are the shares I want to have because I'm not overdrafting them.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't trading him during that time because I was going to get lowballed, but I'm not drafting him higher than I think his perceived value is for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I see that.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to some listener questions.
Go ahead. Ask me anything.
All right, so we got a bunch of questions that rolled in here, so we'll try to get to as many as we can. John McGlynn, he wants to know, DJ Moore or Juju, which he says seems to be a Twitter battle going on right now. He says he's on team DJ Moore. Josh, what side are you on here, Moore or Juju?
I mean, is this not clearly DJ Moore? Is this? I feel like it says this versus this. Like, you can draft both these
guys. Yeah.
Quite far apart. In my books, am I off on this?
No.
It's like comparing me to you guys. There's me. Here's you guys. It's just that you can draft this all.
It's the other way around. It's the other round. You're up here.
No, man. I'm like 5'7".
I'm 5'6". You're good.
God damn it.
I won't
get it. Anyways.
Jeff's
point being, I don't see the comparison. Like, why is this a debate?
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that one, too.
Maybe it's the fact they both changed teams, the fact that they're both the number one targets with their teams. They're both on low pass volume offenses. I think track record leans DJ Moore because he's done it before with some pretty bad quarterback play. I think, you know, Pickett could be argued to be his best quarterback. Justin Fields has been his best quarterback he's ever had. Juju, not so much. I think Juju's had some better quarterbacks. Obviously, he's had Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger. But
even looking at the Scott Fishbowl draft we just did, we're talking around 7 to round 12.
Yeah, it's a big yeah. jump.
You could have them both. You can have your cake and eat it too.
There you go. All right, this one's kind of tongue in cheek from Colin Hester. He wants to know, do you think drinks will play a part in the he says DC live draft, but really any of the live drafts?
People in DC can't drink, so no.
Shots fired.
Fair enough. I'll take that one. So I think drinks, obviously, I think in all the live drafts, alcohol will be abundant. And I do think that there will be some interesting drafts, you know, when you get down to those later rounds and people are a little bit intoxicated. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's get to a real question here from Jordan Woodson. He's got a two-parter here. One, he wants to know, what draft spot in division did you choose and why? And then which player or position is impacted both positively or negatively by this year's scoring settings? I'll go to you first, Ryan.
I am in the 5 spot, and I'm in the Drunken Clam from Family Guy.
Nice.
Because it just plays close to my heart. And I think the player positions impacted much are running backs and QBs with rushing upside. Like, I know it's cool to say tight end, and obviously it's great for a few of them. But when the farther down you get, man, like when I say farther down, I mean outside the top 5 or 6, volume's just not there for tight ends. So it's not as big of an impact other than it helps you, or it's not predictable for fantasy. It's just you're going to get lucky or you're not.
Yeah.
But I think rushing quarterbacks and running backs who are like high volume, low efficiency are the biggest ones who affect. Like we're talking like Daniel Jones, dude like Cam Akers, who may not be efficient because that offense stinks, but he's going to get 280 carries. In the comments, Jamie questioned me saying Damian Pierce over Aaron Jones because Damian Pierce, while he's in a bad offense, he's going to get a ton of volume in that bad offense, and he's not sharing anything in that team showed their faith in him. Aaron Jones still has AJ Dillon, whether he's fishing or not, who can just fall forward for 4 yards. Like, he's still there to take away carries and volume. Like, volume's king in this. And I think that's the guy who it helps more. And you have to look at this just a little bit different than you would a normal league in that aspect.
Nice. Good call. What about you, Josh?
As I mentioned earlier, this is the third year in a row I've gone at the 103. 3 is one of my numbers, man. I don't know. And, fingers crossed, this will be the third year in a row I take a tight end at 103. So, yeah, it's been kind of a running theme, but hey, this year it makes sense.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and division-wise, I'm in the Starbucks division because, as I also mentioned earlier, I drink a pot of it a day. So yeah. If it's the thing I consume most, why not let it consume me?
That's fair.
And do you think tight end is the position that's most impacted? Is that why you're going 103 with Kelsey here? Or do you think it's another position that's more impacted?
I wouldn't say that I am the most normal of drafters. I mean, if you take a look at my dynasty rosters, and I know this is not dynasty, we're not doing like that, but a lot of my builds are all 2 elite tight ends, not just like one of the top 5, like 2 of the top 5. A lot of different combinations and everything. Not that I am greatly considering that in this, but
Jeff, how'd that work out last year for you in the Scott Fishbowl?
Yeah, not so good. And that wasn't even something that I planned. I went Burrow in the first. And then I went Mark Andrews in the second, who I didn't think would fall that late. And then come around into the third, and Kyle Pitts is still sitting there. So I'm like, well, shit, I'll take Kyle Pitts in the third. And didn't really work out so well. So it didn't quite go the way I had hoped it would go. As far as me, I'm at the 105 like Ryan. I am in I'm actually hosting the DC live draft, and I'm in the I'm in the Capital City Mumbo Sauce, which is a barbecue sauce, at a restaurant here. So that's the division I'm in. and the player position that impacted the most, I think it's going to be the QB2 slash QB3s that we kind of mentioned already that aren't going to be affected by the negative points. That means you're getting that, you know, positive completion point that he does in the Scott Fishbowl. You're not getting any negatives on the interceptions. You're not getting any negatives on the fumbles. You're getting all the positive points on no matter what quarterback it is. So I think that they're going to be impacted. I think you could almost wait on your QB2 because of that and get guys that aren't necessarily known to be super flex good quarterbacks, but could still be viable in this format because of the no negatives. So that's my choice there. All right, let's look down here. We got Mr. JJ Winner, who's also in the Discord. He wants to know any suggestions for bye week strategies, which is always kind of a big thing in Scott Fishbowl because the playoffs start a little bit earlier than most leagues. And, you know, obviously you can't make trades in this league. You only have your waivers, but the leagues are so deep that there's not much on the waivers. Are you looking at your bye weeks at all, Ryan, as far as a strategy when you're doing your drafting?
I'm going to say I never look at bye weeks. It's just me. I think it's stupid. I don't care if I lose 1 week. I don't care if I should hit my late draft picks anyways. If I don't hit them, I'm going to lose anyways. Like, I'm not worried about bye weeks, especially something like this. You just have to score as much points as you can. And I'm not passing up a good player over somebody who may be in a tier low because of a bye. It's asinine to me. I hate it.
What about you, Josh? Bye weeks, are you worried about them at all?
I mean, Ryan laid it out perfectly there. Like, why would I sacrifice? I mean, if it was two players of equal value in my eyes in the same tier and one had a more preferable bye week and they were in the same position and there was literally no other differentiating factors between the two other than the bye week, sure, you could use it as a tiebreaker. But like, am I passing up value on it? No, nope. Absolutely not.
I don't even know bye weeks. It's always like if I see it, I'm like, oh, I get to see my draft in. I'm like, oh, I'm fucked week 7. Yeah. Like, I don't even look at it.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's just not even.
I will say the only thing I look at is to make sure both my quarterbacks do not have the same bye week. That's the only scenario in which I look at it.
They do. That's 1 week, dude. And then you're great the rest of the season.
You sacrifice
a week and maybe Justin Jefferson hits.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I still look at the quarterbacks. I hate having both quarterbacks off in super flex league. Maybe it won't be as big a deal in this one because of the no negatives, but yeah, I don't like giving up that one win because in the Scott Fishbowl that really matters because I think it's only 11 weeks of the regular season before you get to playoffs.
So does total points though.
Yeah, like, you're right. You're right. I know the logic of it. I know what you're saying. I just hate going into it knowing I'm gonna have two quarterbacks on a bye in the same week.
You're gonna lose a couple weeks, you're not going undefeated.
Are you going to draft a third quarterback?
I will.
Then you start, and the way scoring is, you just start somebody else with flex. Not a big deal.
All right, fair enough. It'll be hard for me to break that mold.
You can do it. I believe in you.
All right, let's see who else we got here. Let's go with, this is a long one. Let's go with Andrew Hayslip. Read the whole thing here. To that same end, it might be interesting to discuss the lack of negative scoring, which we kind of talked about a little bit. But let's get more in depth into it, Ryan, because I've been the one kind of mentioning it. QB, you know, going with a Stafford or even a Love late. What are your thoughts with the no negative scoring on the quarterbacks?
I'm cool with it as my QB2. Like, I don't. I'm picking five, so I know personally I'm going to have two quarterbacks. Like, I'm going to have an elite quarterback, but you know what? If that lets the talent drop and I can take a chance later on somebody with more upside, I am. And with no negative scoring, I am switching very much towards running quarterbacks. Like, I want that rushing upside with the scoring system and Scott Fishbowl. So I'm looking at, like, maybe Desmond Ridder later. I'm still looking at Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Bryce Young has rushing upside. I don't like Jordan Love, but Jordan Love has rushing upside. I'm looking at guys with the running upside later in the drafts, like QB2, if I'm waiting on QB.
Yeah, good stuff. What about you? What's your thoughts here, Josh, on the no negative on the quarterbacks? Oh, he didn't have his headphones on.
Sorry, I was fixing my hair, y'all.
It's all good. What are your thoughts on the no negative of quarterbacks?
I love it, but as Ryan said, as a QB too. If I'm lucking to Kelsey like my plan is, and say I get like a Dak Prescott at the end of round two, perfect. Then my target QB two, if I'm going really late, is Ritter. As Ryan said, if I can get that, I mean, you can get an Atlanta stack that is so cheap, but man, if they start hitting, yeah. I mean, yes, I don't want to go total upside on my team, as I mentioned earlier, but if I'm getting Ritter, it's not to be my QB one.
Yeah.
A so, Ritter Drake London stack would be nice.
Yeah.
Because London's going to get targets. All my mocks.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It's an easy one to get.
All right, this next one here is from the Discord again. Mr. Coley Cole, he wants to know, how early do you think get your guy strategy and or draft choice, and how viable can that thinking be? And I'll answer this one first, and I'll throw it to you guys. And this is just my thought. This is my sixth or seventh year in the Scott Fishbowl. And my thinking is, this is a charity league. This is a league that you're going to be wanting to have fun. The real motive is to get to know people in your division. So if I'm going to do that, getting my guys what I want to do. Like, if I'm going to be rooting for guys in a charity league, then I want my guys, even if it's not necessarily the quote unquote pick that everybody thinks I should make. I want my guys on my team just to have fun and just to be able to root for those guys during the season. What are your thoughts, Josh?
I mean, how many, just for those who don't know, how many teams win the Scott Fish Bowl?
Just one.
Exactly. So if you are that one team, wouldn't you want to do it with at least one of your guys? I mean, don't pull a me last year and draft Kyle Pitts at the 103. There is such a thing as going too early. That being said, if I'm staring down Kyle Pitts at the 403 this year,
that's fine.
It's going to be really hard for me to pass him. Yeah. But the thing is, I got a lot of guys that I like. So I'm down to at least get one of them.
Fair. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts on getting your guy?
I don't play fantasy for like players I like. I really don't. I just play fantasy because I want to try to win as much as I can. And like a good player is like, if I think a player's going to be good over somebody else, I don't have no problem taking them higher than he should be. To make sure I get them, but like, just because I'm a fan, don't really care that much. I'm in enough leagues that I'm gonna have somewhere.
Yeah, and I think
like we're like, if you're listening to fantasy football at this point in the year, you're in enough leagues where you already have your guy.
You got your guy somewhere.
You have to. Like, if you're listening to fantasy football in freaking June, you have your guys on your team because you're in 26 leagues.
Yeah, and I think also that the three of us are a little bit, because we kind of do this not for a living necessarily, but we do it enough that our guys typically end up being the guys that you want to draft. But if your guy is, Baker Mayfield, I don't know if you want to go out and get your guy. If your guy's, because we have a friend of the podcast, Mr. Shane, he loves Baker Mayfield. And if Baker Mayfield's your guy, I don't know if that's the guy you want to go out and get. So, but I guess
Baker Mayfield might be good in this format with no penalties for interceptions. And fair that point. Team sucks. He might throw the ball 700 times this year.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
He might be okay.
He does have Edmonds and Godwin as well.
He does have Edmonds and Godwin and no defense.
Yeah.
He might be in all right shape.
There you go. Go get your guy, Shane.
Get Baker this year. But get him late because nobody else is going to get him.
Exactly.
God bless.
All right, let's do one more question here. And we'll do Jamie actually has a question. He was in the chat today, so I want to make sure to get to his question. So, with Kelsey possibly going with the number one pick or at least in the top five picks, where are you comfortable taking the next tight end off the board? And I think he means not necessarily what you're taking your second tight end, but where is the next tight end going, whether it's Mark Andrews or whether it's TJ Hockenson? Where do you think that he goes in that respect, Josh?
Number two, after Kelsey, honestly, every mock I've seen, it goes too early for me. I'm seeing like early to mid second round, and I'm just like, if I'm not getting Kelsey, man, I'm out for at least a couple rounds.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? Right.
Yeah.
Andrew's probably round two works. Hockenson maybe three. I'm personally not doing it, but I'm okay with that. If Andrews comes to me at 105 and I can stack him and Lamar, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
On the comeback, like in that area, if he falls, I'm very, very, very cool with it. But that's probably about it, like mid second round.
Yeah, I think I've, you know, drafted.
But I don't think he's going to be there. But yeah, that's where I'm okay taking him.
Yeah, I think he's been going. I've seen him go as high as the end of the first, like at the 112. And yeah, that's way too high. But I love
Mark Andrews. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And I am not sniffing him before that 205.
Yeah.
Ingram. In that question, Jay, you put Ingram by a lot. Ingram's going to be a top five tight end this year.
Jamie's question is, who's your favorite later round tight end? Njoku, Ingram, question mark?
Actually, I said Ingram's a top seven last week on the show. I'm sticking with it. But I'm doubling down. I'm saying he's finished in top five. Let's go. Ingram balls this year. He's the only real red zone threat in that offense that's extending.
Nice. And then Kyle's loving George Kittle here in the middle of rounds. I think we saw in this mock he went in the fourth round, which I think is really good value, especially if Purdy starts the season, because him and Purdy had that connection at the end of the year.
With you mentioned how much you love Kittle earlier, would you rather him or Kyle Pitts if they're both on the board when you're up in the fourth round?
Woof. That's like asking me to choose between my kids. Thankfully, one's still in my wife's belly, so I don't have to make that choice yet. It's Felix all day, every day. but in that hypothetical, Christ, can I have them both? Can I trade back? Can I trade my 24 first round pick if I get into Scott Fishbowl so I can get Kittle and Pitts? Because, I mean, just that name alone would be amazing. But it's hard. The system, I can't not say Kyle Anthony Pitts, man. I'm taking Pitts.
All right, fair enough.
Take your guy. Damn it,
Jeff.
I'm going Kittle. I love Kittle, and he is quote unquote my guy. So I'll take Kittle. I like Kyle Pitts too. I took him last year, obviously, but. George Kittle is just fun to watch, and when he's hitting, he's a beast.
I had them both last year.
All right, let's get to our last segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Josh, you got the floor. What you got for your forgotten fantasy player?
Okay, gentlemen, this guy. Oh, okay, I've given half of that answer away. So you know this is a guy. He played in the NFL, not a super long time, but long enough.
Okay.
Clue number one. This man was the first player in Oklahoma history to score 4 touchdowns in the first half of his debut game.
Oklahoma, DeMarco Murray.
God damn it!
Boom, one clue. Let's go.
I had some good clues, man.
Nice. Good call. I would have never got that.
Yeah, that was a juicy one dangling out there. Well played, Ryan. Nice.
Good stuff, man. Hats off one to you, metaphorically, one clue.
That's what that air again. Damn.
Good stuff. I don't know college football, so that was definitely out of my league right there. If anyone's going to get it was going to be Ryan. Good pull. Good pull. I love it.
Good job.
What other clues did you have? I'm just curious. Let me hear some of your other clues. Okay. And see if I would have ever even gotten it.
Clue number two, as if nothing just happened. He has 5 records at the University of Oklahoma, where he's now the running backs coach, including touchdowns and all-purpose yards. He also holds the single season rushing record for one of the NFL franchises he played for, despite that team having 2 other running backs in the Hall of Fame. And this is the one that was the juiciest, because I knew you would have got this one by now. But in his first game as the second string running back, he put up 253 rushing yards, breaking the franchise single season rushing or single game rushing record, the second longest touchdown in franchise history, 10th most rushing yards in a game in NFL history, 2nd most rushing yards in a game by a rookie in NFL history, the 2nd longest touchdown run on a player's first career rushing touchdown in NFL history, and the most rushing yards allowed by a single running back in one game in their opponent's franchise history.
Wow.
That would be the Rams.
You've gotten that, Jeff.
I wouldn't gotten into that last one. The last one would have been in the range, but those first three with the college teams, I was at a loss with all those. I would have never gotten
into it. Yeah, that's why I kind of eased into it. But man, Ryan, boom! Out of the park, man.
Yeah, that was good. Good man, stuff.
I've been wanting the one clue one bad.
Yeah,
I've been wanting it.
I have my one clue hit. I forget. It was Tayson Williams, I believe, is who I got on one clue.
I feel like mine was a real one, not just because I had that player on my team who made that.
it still counts. Still counts. All right, guys, that wraps the podcast up. Let's go around the room real quick. Give us your Twitter handle, plug anything you're working on, whatever you want to talk about. We'll go to you first, Josh.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for having me on, man. This is an absolute hoot. As you can see, if you scroll down with my finger here and follow it over to my immediate left, there is Smoky Hell NFL. That is my handle everywhere. I'm not really at too many places, but I'm at some places, and that's how you find me. My content is going to be, you know, going back on some football stuff, but I also do everything. I mean, if you have not noticed, I have ADHD. I'm kind of all over the place a little bit. But because I have many facets, the Smoke Show is kind of doing all of those facets. So I cover music, I cover comics, I cover movies, entertainment, football, anything. Anything is floating around this little head there, I cover it because it needs to, you know. But yeah.
Good stuff. And Jamie wants to see you on some more of our podcasts. And it looks like I think Kyle had you on last year.
Thank you.
Kyle had you on the press coverage.
I love Kyle.
Good stuff. Brian, what you got going on?
Find me Twitter, Foss534. Find me here. Find me over at the Rookie Big Board. I'm actually doing a guest spot tomorrow with Gladys. Talk some fun stuff there. Some non-football stuff, which is cool.
So oh, yeah.
That's fun for a change. Anything I ever talk about. So I'm pumped about that. But yeah. I'm around.
Good stuff. Yeah, that podcast that Ryan's alluding to is called No Particular Order. It comes on every other Thursday. Gladys does an awesome job with that show, so definitely check that out.
I forgot what I agreed that I was talking about, but I think it's movies.
Or yeah, it's like, cool. Was it Westerns? Or I saw a picture of the...
It's definitely not Westerns, because I don't know shit about Westerns.
Tombstone 101.
Yeah, that's 101, 102, and 103 for me, because I don't know if I can name too many more than Tombstone.
There is no other movies. Tombstone is the only movie.
Oh, shit. We are doing Westerns and crime movies. That's fine. We'll figure it out. I'm not good at questions of crime, but I know enough.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Once again, Josh, thanks for coming on, man. You've been great. I told Ryan, I was like, prepare for Josh's energy, because I went and watched some of your Smoke Show and I was like, this dude is all over the place. So I knew this is how this would go. So yeah, great job. Thanks for coming on. We love having you. As far as what I got going, guys, if you're not in the Discord for Scott Fishbowl, get in there. It's really easy to find. Go to my profile on Twitter. Go to goingfor2.com. And so there's a link there as well. If you haven't already, we have a charity through GoFundMe that donates to Fantasy Cares. So please go find that also in the Discord, also on my Twitter account as well. We're up to, I think, 1350 last I checked. Last year, we donated $2,222 on the Pot-a-thon. So I'm hoping to beat that number this year. So please go find that on the Discord. And that's really it, guys. It's all about Scott Fishbowl right now. We got some great guests coming up here pretty soon. We got Joe Pisapia next week. Yeah. And then we got some of our previews. Our division previews start in July. So for Josh, for Ryan, I'm Jeff. We will see y'all next week.